Morning, everyone. Some of you here know the passage of scripture that we're going to be dealing with this morning. And I trust that what we have to do from the Word of God will be of benefit to us all. It's in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. At the end of chapter 3, I don't know if you were in that portion last week, Sunday, but at the end of chapter 3, we read of the baptism of our Lord, and after he was baptized, went up out of the water, the heavens were opened, the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And the last verse of chapter 3 says, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, chapter 4. Then was Jesus led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus saith unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not put the Lord thy God to the test. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, begone, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. May God bless to our hearts the reading of this portion of His Holy Word. I'd like to divide my little talk this morning into three segments. First of all, the tempter, the tempted, and the triumph. The tempter. Who is he? Where did he come from? He came from the glory. According to Isaiah chapter 14, he fell from heaven. He was called the Son of the Morning. And Ezekiel tells us that this tempter was full of wisdom, perfect in beauty, and in spite of the curse, the serpent is still considered one of the most beautiful creatures on planet Earth. He was perfect in all his ways from the day that he was created until iniquity was found in him. If you read the first chapter of Job, you discover that he presents himself before the Lord amongst the sons of God. That's what he did in Job's day, and I believe he still does the same. I believe that what we read in chapter 3 concerning the baptism of our blessed Lord. That was not strange to the tempter, the devil. No doubt he attended that baptismal service. Don't you think so? I believe that he heard when John told the people, because the devil is listening. He heard when John told the people, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That must have aggravated him. Then he heard that voice from heaven. God wasn't talking to him, but he heard the voice of God saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We have to be careful what we say. We have to be careful what we do. Because not only does my Heavenly Father watches over me, but the tempter, the enemy, he has his eye on us. He knows just where to go, when to go, what to do, what to say. He is not just the figment of somebody's imagination. I am of the opinion that there is a real, personal devil called in Scripture the God of this age. He has a lot of emissaries, demons, through whom he does his nefarious work. And he likes to attend baptismal services. He likes to attend weddings, funerals, church services, when the sons of God meet before the Lord. He delights to present himself there also. Now, it's difficult to identify him because he travels incognito, disguises himself. Paul told the Corinthians that he transforms himself into an angel of light. He is bent on deception. In all he does, in everything he says, you can see that his idea is to deceive and to mislead. Many of God's servants are reluctant to talk about him because of the consequences some have suffered as they confront the arch enemy of our souls. He transformed himself, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, into an angel of light. And Paul says, it's no great thing if his ministers, the demons, if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness. And I make bold to say that any religious leader who denies the virgin birth of Jesus Christ our Lord, anyone who denies his deity, anyone who denies his impeccability and his infallibility, because Jesus Christ is the perfect one. He is indeed the Son of the living God. Those who deny the efficacy of his atoning death and the power of his glorious resurrection, the eternality of the salvation that he provides, eternal life, he gives to those, our Lord gives to those who believe on him. But when ministers and religious leaders deny these basic, fundamental truths of the Word of God, truths which are non-negotiable. Paul refers to them as ministers of Satan, who transform themselves into ministers of righteousness for the purpose of deceiving people. And unfortunately, multitudes have been lulled into a sense of false security because they heard something in church. They heard something from the pulpit. Something that, if closely examined, you'll discover it's diametrically opposite to what is taught in the precious Word of God. That's why the Lord says to his people, take heed what you hear. Take heed how you hear. We are exhorted in Scripture, buy the truth. Buy it. And sell it not. And whatever price you pay to get truth, you're getting a bargain. Because it's only the truth that will make you free. But the Satan that we read of in the Scripture, he's a liar, so the Bible tells us. And he's a father of lies. He told God when questioned, where are you coming from? Going to and fro throughout the earth. Walking up and down throughout the earth. Walking about, Peter says, as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And when he heard John referring to Jesus as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, he must have said to himself, I'm going to check that out. When he heard that voice from heaven, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. It must have grieved him, agitated him, antagonized him, and he determines, well, I'm going to see if he's really the one he professes to be. He challenges the divine statement of Scripture with that word, if you're the Son of God. If you are. Actually, that word is translated in other translations of the Scripture. Since you are the Son of God. Because he knows a lot of truth. You remember, just a few pages over, I think it's in Matthew chapter 8, again in Mark's Gospel. And in Luke's Gospel, we read of demons and the devil speaking through them. And they say to the Lord, when the Lord is about to cast out the demons, they say to him, we know you who you are. We know who you are. And they ask him a question. Have you come to torment us before the time? Actually, Satan knows quite a bit about Scripture. He may not understand all the implications of prophecy, but he knew that this wasn't the time for him to be cast into the bottomless pit. You come to torment us before the time. And they ask the Lord, leave them alone. The devil's tactics are still the same, whether you realize it or not. I'd like to say, just as he was on the track of our Lord, following him, confronting him, his tactics are still the same. He is still subtle. In Genesis chapter 3, we read that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Hard to figure him out. He's a deceiver. He's lively. He's deadly. He's a murderer. Our Lord tells us that. He's a thief. A ravening wolf. roaring lion, a venomous serpent. He is relentless in pursuing his victims. Our Lord defeated him there in the wilderness, but he didn't give up the battle. He followed him right through to the cross. I believe he followed him right through to the tomb, ensuring that the tomb was sealed. And that would be the end of the ministry of Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is tenacious in enslaving his victims. He doesn't relinquish power over them. That is why, if at any time in your experience you discover that the devil has a grip on any section of your life, watch out. He is relentless in relinquishing his hold on his victims. He always looks for a weak spot. And there, in Matthew chapter 4, he figures, I found his weak spot. In the wilderness, for 40 days, the Savior fasted. And the Bible says, afterward, he was hungry. I know what I'll do. Since you are the Son of God, just speak the word. He knew that the worlds were formed by the word of God. He knew the power of the word. And he says to the Savior, who was also the creator, for without him was not anything made that was made. The creator. He says to him, all you have to do to assuage your hunger. You're hungry. A lot of stones here. Command the stones that they be made bread. You'll have enough to satisfy your hunger. And he looks today throughout the world, and he sees a lot of hungry people. People that have appetites. That's what I want. That's what I have to get. I'm hungry. Not just for a loaf of bread. But there's a desire in so many hearts, a yearning. Particularly for material things. Even among professing Christians. Material possessions seem to mean more to most people than the things of God. And the word of God says, that which you see is temporal. That which you do not see is eternal. When the devil told the tempter, told the Savior, command the stones that they be made bread. I thank God for his response. I thank God for this threefold temptation that the enemy of our souls leveled at our blessed Lord. And on each of the three occasions, for each temptation, he gave and responded with a verse of scripture. You see the power in the word of God? That is how our Savior won the victory. That is how you and I can win the victory. I was at a meeting some time ago, and I heard a dear servant of God say, talking to a young people's group, he says, when you're tempted, when the devil comes and tells you that you must have that or you must have the other, you've got to have it. And you feel powerless because there's a desire in your heart to eat of the forbidden fruit. You must have it. Defeat the devil with a verse of scripture. And if you can't think of any other verse of scripture, you know John 3:16? And everybody said yes. We know
Well, just repeat it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Ah.
You can have victory. Not only in John 3:16. In practically any verse of the word of God. Hidden in your heart. David says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Use it. Paul refers to the scripture as the sword of the Spirit. The devil knows a lot of scripture too. But he fears the sharp sword of the Spirit. Command the stones that they be made bread. It is written. It is written. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name and lean on his word. We were singing this morning, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. When you stand on this word, you're standing on a firm foundation. You will observe that the building in which we gather is known as the Boulevard Bible Chapel. I like that. Bible Chapel. In other words, every servant of God who comes here, every Lord's Day or at other meetings as well, they open this precious book. And it is a powerful, the most powerful weapon that we have in defeating the enemy of our souls. We are not ignorant of the devil's, the tempter's cunning devices, Paul told the Corinthians. We know about them. The word exposes him. He always tries to find a weak spot in your armor. Therefore, every morning, my suggestion to him is Paul's suggestion to the Ephesians. I would say to you, every morning, before you move out into the activities of the day, get in touch with the Lord and put on not just proper garments to go outside, but put on the whole armor of God. Make sure that you're protected in order that you stand against the wiles of the devil, the enemy of our souls, the tempter. He tempted Adam and Eve, and he succeeded. He tempted Jesus Christ, the second Adam, the Lord from glory, but thank God, he failed. Is he making any progress with you and with me? Because he is still tempting. He is still walking up and down throughout the whole earth. Seeking whom he may enslave and devour. And because you've accepted Christ as your Savior, doesn't mean that he has forgotten all about you. Maybe your Christian testimony aggravates him, antagonizes him. And I'm here to tell you that he's still alive. This tempter. Look at the tempted. The tempted. In the passage under review, here in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus Christ our Lord was the tempted. He was the object of the enemy's attacks. We read in Hebrews chapter 4, that he was in all points tempted or tested like as we are. In all points he was tested. In Genesis chapter 3, it was Adam and Eve who were tempted, and they were in a perfect environment. In the morning of creation, they stood tall, noble. You ever thought about Adam and Eve? It was impossible for either one of them to commit adultery. Nobody else around to attract their attention. It was impossible for them to steal. Everything belonged to them. It was impossible for them to dishonor their father and mother.
They had no earthly parents.
They couldn't bear false witness against a neighbor.
They had no neighbors. Adam and Eve.
They couldn't covet anybody's possessions, a man's wife or his house or his property, his goods. There was no covetousness in their hearts. No. I heard recently, dear brother, say, in looking into Genesis chapter 3, he says, the big problem here was not the apple on the tree, it was the pear on the ground. This couple, right there on the ground. And the one more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God made. So graceful, so some of the beauty of the original Lucifer is still observed in the graceful, colorful creature that's caged at in our zoos. And I don't know if you've observed, but around the cages where the serpents are kept, there's usually a crowd looking, admiring. He gains the admiration of multitudes. And he wanted the one who he knew was the Son of God. He wanted him to demonstrate, to show to the people that he had the power. Cast yourself down from the pinnacle of the temple. Cast yourself down. It is written, he'll give his angels charge concerning you. In their hands they'll bear you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. He'll protect you. Our Lord responded to this temptation with the Word of the Living God, the infallible Word of the Living God. Adam and Eve failed. Thank God Jesus succeeded. Adam and Eve spoiled the whole human race, but Jesus provided cleansing. Adam and Eve, they dragged us down, but Jesus lifts us up. They brought in condemnation, but Jesus brought justification. They brought death. Because they ate of the fruit. They disobeyed God. And brought in death. In Adam, all die. Because all have sinned. They inherit that. We inherit it from our parents and foreparents. They led the way to heaven, but Jesus leads the way to hell. They led the way to hell, but Jesus leads the way to heaven. Thank God for Jesus Christ. The second Adam, the Lord of life and glory. We're singing about him as we close our meeting this morning. King of my life. King. He's not only king of my life, he is king of kings and Lord of lords. All of us are tempted. All have sinned. All come short. None does good. No, not one. And the tempter, he not only tempted Jesus Christ, our Savior, but he tempts every member of the human family. All. How easy it is to succumb to his temptation. You turn on the television, you're at home not troubling anybody, but you turn on the TV or you turn on the radio and you hear some things. You get some advice that comes from the pit of hell. All they'll tell you, even if you don't have any money, take it. You don't have to pay until the year 2001, 2002, 2003, January 2003 before your first payment comes due. Oh, but I don't have any money to buy this. You don't need money today. You want that furniture? You want that car? You want that house? It's there. I give it to you.
What does the Word of God say? Owe no man anything. In other words, God's Word says, keep out of debt.
But even God's people, believers, they listen to what the enemy says. I tell you a lot of stories on this matter. Time will not allow. I just give you the Word of the living God.
The Word is, owe no man anything.
Keep out of debt. We see the tempter. We see the tempted. But thank God we see triumph. There is victory for all those who put their trust in Jesus. Victory, triumph. At the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul says, thanks be to God who giveth us. What does God give us? Victory. How do we get it? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. The saints of whom we read in Revelation chapter 12, and for the sake of time we won't turn to it, but in Revelation chapter 12, we read of the saints who overcame Satan. How did they overcome him? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. I suggest to you that this is the word of testimony. The psalmist often refers to the scripture as the testimony of the Lord. And we have victory over the devil by the blood of the Lamb. Thank God for the cleansing blood. Here at the Boulevard Bible Chapel, faithful servants of God, they preach Bible. They preach the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. And they preach the blessed hope. Good doctrine. And that is what we read in Revelation chapter 12. They overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And then if you want to see the mighty victory that the saints will enjoy throughout the ages of eternity, read the last part of the book. Read the end of the book. And those of you who have read the end of the book, Revelation chapter 20, you can read that Satan is bound for 1,000 years, cast into the bottomless pit, a prisoner there. Then after his brief release, verse 10 tells us he's cast into the lake of fire where he'll be tormented day and night
forever and ever.
This is not a fairy tale. This is not the figment of John's imagination. This is biblical truth given to us in the infallible word of God. That's the final doom of the enemy of our souls, the great tempter of all the inhabitants of planet Earth. To be cast into the lake of fire, to be tormented forever and ever. The three temptations of Matthew chapter 4, find them again in Mark chapter 1 and in Luke chapter 4. These three temptations correspond to what John calls in his one of his letters, he refers to flesh and the eyes, the pride of life. He makes reference
these three things in this book. It corresponds to the three temptations. And we thank God that through Jesus Christ, O Lord, we have victory. When I was a small child in Sunday school, one of the choruses that made an impression on my heart and mind, I don't know if you know it here, and I'll make no attempt to sing it for you, but the words are, V-I-C-T-O-R-Y, victory. V-I-C-T-O-R-Y, victory. Thanks be to God. And it was sung responsive singing. One section of the audience would sing one line, the other section gives the response, you know. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Who giveth us the victory? Who giveth us the victory? And then the song goes on to say, He died and He rose. He conquered all our foes. He lives and He pleads. Supplies all our needs. He comes, we shall rise to meet Him in the skies. And then everybody sings with shouts of victory. There is victory for God's people. You may have suffered defeat. Even during the past week, you may have believed the devil's lie and done something you ought not to have done. You have done something contrary to the instructions in the Word of God. But the Word is here. Thanks be to God. We can have victory. We are on the victory side. We are certain. We have read the last chapter in the book. And we see that Christ shall reign and will reign forever and forever. And we say hallelujah for the cross. Praise God for the blood that He shed. Praise God for the word that He has spoken. Praise God for the grace that He gives. For where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. If you have suffered defeat, if you are being tempted and troubled and assailed by the enemy, the great tempter of mankind, if you have a problem in your life, whether it be emotional or economic, whatever type of problem you have, the devil has some plan for you to solve it. But Jesus Christ has the only meaningful and adequate solution to that problem. And we invite you to trust Him. We invite you to turn your life, your heart, your life over to Him unreservedly. Look to Him. He is able to deliver you. Shall we bow in prayer? I'm constrained to ask, is there anyone present who would like us to pray for you as we close our meeting? You know what it means to be tempted by the enemy. We are here to encourage you, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. And if you've been tempted and tried and being tested by the enemy, but you want Christ to give you victory, in your home, in your business, in your heart, in your life. So that when you appear in His presence, you won't be ashamed. If you're here and you want to dedicate your life wholly, solely to the Lord and have victory over the enemy, and you want us to pray for you now as we close our meeting, put up your hand to indicate it. I'll be glad to speak to the Lord on your behalf. Right at this time. Anyone? Anywhere. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your power. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your gracious provision for all our needs. May none of us here be defeated by the cunning devices of the enemy, the great tempter.
as he walks about, seeking whom he may consume. Lord, we pray as you taught us to pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. We give you thanks for who you are, for where you are, for what you're doing for us, and for what you will yet do for us. And we look to you, Lord, to give victory to your people every day of our lives, every moment of every day. May none of us allow the enemy to gain the upper hand in any area of our lives. May we learn what it means to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We offer thanks for our coming together and ask your blessing now as we separate. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let all of God's people say, Amen. When you say Amen, it doesn't bother me, but it's an encouragement to my heart to know that there is some agreement. We agree in prayer and we give God thanks.